Anarchopreneur, episode 26, The Incredible Power of Selling with Stories.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, Free Market Squad? Welcome to another exciting episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Frazier Show. I am, of course, your host, Nathan Frazier. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad, and this is Anarchopreneur, the only podcast dedicated to helping you be your own boss, both politically and professionally. We are broadcasting live on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, LiveFreeFM.com, Digital Outlaws Media, also picked up and rebroadcast over at LRN.FM, and surprising news, the new website, NathanFrazierShow.com. Still trying to build that whole website out. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the episode. But first, it's time to do a date stamp. Today is Sunday, the 1st of May, 2016. May Day. Did you know that today, May 1st, 2016, is actually the 240th birthday of the Illuminati? I bet you didn't. Or maybe you did. I don't know. I shouldn't make judgments about your intelligence about trivial things like the birth date of the Illuminati. But that is the case. 1776, May 1st, 1776, Adam Weishaupt got together with a couple of his cohorts and created, I want to say it was called the Order of the Perfectibilis, which was later known or to later become known as the Order of the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit priest or Jesuit trained priest, maybe, according to documents that were later found on his body. Again, I wasn't there. I'm getting this from the internet. Take it with a grain of salt. Adam Weishaupt apparently was found struck dead with lightning, maybe? I don't know. You know, internet. Conspiracy theories. According to the story, when they found his body, he had documents proving the existence of this secret organization that was apparently trying to overthrow the power that the church and the monarchy had over Europe at the time. And if that is the case, you know, I can't say that I'm in too much disagreement with him and his goals. And I know that that makes me a shill. That's okay. I'm okay with that. So, enough about that. Enough about lessons in conspiracy theory history. Today, we're going to be talking about, in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about the power of storytelling when it comes to trying to build a movement, when it comes to trying to build a business. Stories are incredibly powerful. I'm going to go through some things to keep in mind when it comes to stories. I'm going to go through some effective ways to storytell and kind of break down the reasoning as to why stories are so powerful. Also, later on in the show, I'm going to be talking about money. This is something that came up on a recent episode of Truth Frequency Radio. I was on with Chris and Cherie, and I kind of wanted to expand on some of the ideas that were expressed on that particular episode of Truth Frequency Radio. And so I'm going to take advantage of my own podcast to do that, where I don't have other people to question my super intellectual superior knowledge on the subject. That's how confident I am. I will not let people challenge me. This is my podcast, damn it. But before that, though, we are going to take a real quick trip into Nathan Fraser land. That is the imaginary legal construct where I live. Nathan Fraser land. I really need to get some circus music for the intro of this segment. Nathan Fraser land, this week in Nathan Fraser land. So typically I start off with my weekly wins. This week I'm going to start off with a weekly loss or a failure that I had in Nathan Fraser land. So I ran an ad, a Facebook ad for a t-shirt last week and wasted a bunch of money and failed miserably. And this is kind of strange because typically when I run Facebook ads for things, I usually get a pretty good return on investment. Not this time. I lost a lot of money. And when I say a lot, less than $100, but more than I'm comfortable losing. And it was kind of disappointing. And I'm going to kind of go through the reasons why I think I lost so much money this time. Like I said, usually when I run ads on Facebook, I gain money. This was, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but it was definitely, there was certain variables that made it not the typical experience. So, some of the reasons why, just a little bit of backstory on what the shirt was. I made a Negan shirt, for Walking Dead fans, and I was selling to a market that I wasn't really well researched in. Typically when I sell shirts on Facebook, I'm selling them to the Liberty community or to the conspiracy theory community. And I know that market very well. And I wanted to make a shirt trying to capitalize on the Negan trend from Walking Dead. And I didn't pull it off. That's just, that's the truth of the matter. I jumped into something and I failed at it. I used something, so not only was it a market that I wasn't familiar with or I wasn't super versed with, which I am a Walking Dead fan. I read the comics. I've read every single issue of the Walking Dead comics. I really love the comics, actually. And I do watch the TV show. Not as big a fan as of the TV show as I am of the comics, but I did want to make a Negan shirt. I've had this idea for this shirt for a long time. I thought it would be a hot selling shirt. It wasn't. So I did a couple things different. So first of all, I was trying to sell to a market that I didn't research very well. Big mistake right there. Second of all, I was using a new method. I was using something called Teespring. I don't know if you guys have ever used Teespring shirts before. If you use Teespring correctly and you understand the market that you're going after, apparently you can make some decent money with Teespring. I have never used Teespring before. I have my own personal printer that I use, but because of changes in Facebook ads, I wasn't able to run the shirts the way that I typically do. Usually I run Facebook ads straight to Live Free FM and I sell shirts from there. Facebook has cracked down on some of the pages that they will allow you to drive traffic to. I used to be able to send traffic to livefreefm.com. Somebody reported my website apparently for offensive material, which, I mean, in the land of social justice warriors, everything's offensive. So it's really hard to stay within Facebook's guidelines. Also, I didn't have a privacy policy on livefreefm.com. I didn't have a terms of service page on livefreefm.com. So, they would not allow me to run ads to livefreefm.com and just set up a landing page there like I used to for t-shirts. So I had to try something different. And so I was trying to use Teespring. And again, new platform, new market, miserable failure. Just these things happen. And this is a thing. To be a successful entrepreneur, you have to be brave enough to try things. You have to be brave enough to fail, and you have to be brave enough to try again after you fail. That's just the matter of the fact. And I fail from time to time. Actually, pretty frequently I fail at things. I would say for maybe every 10 failures, I meet a fairly good success. Usually it's worth it. But yeah, being able to fail, being able to put yourself out there and put yourself on the line and fail publicly is something that not all people have enough courage to do. But it is a very vital part of being successful in trying to be your own boss. So, you know, if I fail miserably like this last time, I'm just going to come on the show and tell you guys what happened. And that is definitely what happened. So that led me to a whole rabbit hole of learning. And this is kind of the lessons learned segment of Nathan Fraser Land. I ended up diving down. I'm in a couple different communities for copywriting and advertising, and I ended up going down this crazy rabbit hole of sales copy based on a form of consumer goods specifically known as shopping products. Now, this is something that I have never delved into before. All of my previous work, all of the clients that I've taken on before, all of the work that I've done for myself has been for rather expensive items, things like software as a service or digital products or stuff for business to business. I recently did a brochure for a video game company that sells like a $14,000 product. I've done things for like fencing companies that sell like multi-thousand, $100,000 fencing systems. And by fencing, I mean like fences, not like touche fencing. So most of my experience has been with like very high-end products that solve a problem. And so most of my copywriting is based off of solutions to problems. And I have not done very much copyright work for like just consumer goods or like disposable. I don't want to say disposable goods because you don't want to just like buy a t-shirt to dispose of it. But I haven't done like advertisements for things like t-shirts or trinkets or jewelry or things like that. So it was definitely a weak point that I had that I really didn't notice until I tried selling something outside of the market that I was comfortable with. And when I did, oh man, I realized that I really had a weak spot. And so I started, I put some feelers out in a couple of communities, and I had somebody hit me back up and sent me down this rabbit hole of copywriting for shopping products, which is a particular like subdivision of consumer goods. And wow, learned a lot. And learned that storytelling is like a huge part of selling products like that, which I always knew that storytelling was a huge part of sales copy. I use storytelling rather frequently in my sales copy, but I didn't understand it the way that I do now for this type of product. And for this type of product, for like a t-shirt or for a pair of earrings or for a watch or a pair of pants, like storytelling, telling a story about that product is so important. And inviting the reader to be a part of that story is like the main appeal, the main like point of your copy is to tell a story about the product and then invite the reader to become a part of that story by purchasing that product. And that was, I mean, it's basic like copywriting common sense, but I was going about it totally wrong. And I had the help of one really, really good copywriter that pointed me in the right direction and didn't give me like a resource or an instructional manual per se, but pointed me to a couple of websites that sell those type of products and write just terrific copy for these products. And was like, look, dude, if you really want to understand it, just go here and just go through everything that you can in this site and examine what they're doing when they're trying to sell these products. And I got to tell you, I spent like 3 or 4 days on, between these two sites, and my mind was just blown by how incorrectly I had made my first attempt at trying to sell these Negan Walking Dead shirts. So when I try again, I'm probably going to try and sell them again when the series starts back up later on this year. Hopefully I will have better results, and I'm almost positive, armed with the new knowledge that I have, I'm going to have way better results, because I just realized so many things that I was doing wrong, that I can't wait for a second turn at bat. Haha, Negan reference right there. A second turn at bat to try and improve upon my dismal failure from this previous week. So that's that. Also, I got a ton of work done in building the onboarding for BlastPod. We're about to end the Pioneer program for BlastPod, which means prices are going to be going up for our service. I'm running an email campaign right now for that. So I've just been like crazy, crazy busy this last week. I put together like a 7-piece autoresponder series for like this final sales push for the Pioneer program of BlastPod. I've been just working my butt off trying to get everything ready for this. So it's been a crazy week. Also, I mentioned earlier, new site, NathanFraserShow.com. It's not all the way up yet. Once it is, though, the old feed from livefreefm.com, the old RSS feed that supplies Stitcher and iTunes and however many other podcast applications, that feed will probably be ending. So you'll need to subscribe to the new show, Anarchopreneur, rather than the old Live Free FM feed, and you're going to have to do that over at NathanFraserShow.com. When I'm about ready to do that, I will give you guys fair warning so that you know, but that is coming, a switch in the feeds. You might lose access to this show if you're not on top of it. One way to stay on top of it is to sign up for my newsletter. You can do that by joining the Free Market Squad over at freemarketsquad.com. Just fill out the little email form over there. You'll be informed with everything that I've got coming up. You'll also get access into the Free Market Squad Facebook group. Also, I've got some plans for Free Market Squad in the future as well. I'm not going to really dump that out right now. One step at a time, Nathan. Okay. Jeez, hold your horses. The new site, NathanFraserShow.com, will be the new home of this podcast and also a new blog that I'm writing. I'm going to start compiling everything that I'm learning, all of my notes to myself about copywriting and marketing. I'm going to start compiling them over at NathanFraserShow.com. I'm going to start a new blog called Church of the Invisible Hand. It's like an inside joke for probably both copywriters and Austrian economists. So that's going to be my new blog over at NathanFraserShow.com. And that blog is going to be mainly probably my thoughts on free market economics and my thoughts on marketing and notes to myself about copywriting, so that if I ever need reminders about things, I can just go to my site and search for them. So a lot to look forward to over at NathanFraserShow.com. How many times can I plug NathanFraserShow.com in this episode? I've gotten so good at shameless self-promotion that I'm probably turning off a lot of my listeners, and that's okay. And the reason I went with NathanFraserShow.com again, NathanFraserShow.com, this episode brought to you by NathanFraserShow.com. The reason that I went with that instead of like anarchopreneur.com, I do own anarcho-preneur.com. It is so hard to spell or like tell people how to spell anarchopreneur. What was I thinking? people can't even spell entrepreneur, let alone a crazy anarchist version of entrepreneur. Anarchopreneur.com, which is already taken, actually. Joby, one of my friends, Joby Weeks, he, as soon as he heard the term, he snatched up the website. He said I could have it, but, you know, it's hard to send people to a website called Anarchopreneur and try and spell how it's spelt out. NathanFraserShow.com is a lot easier to send people to, so NathanFraserShow.com. Also, in the coming up week, I'm going to be doing an interview with Chris Janston from The Scritch Show. He's going to be coming on I almost screwed up and said Live Free FM. He's going to be the guest on the next episode of Anarchopreneur next week. We're going to be talking about email marketing. Chris has just started using GetResponse, which is the service that I use, and he's trying to build his email list. So we're going to talk about some insights about email marketing for a podcast. So if you're a podcaster or a blogger and you want to learn about how to effectively email market and how to build your email list, definitely tune in to next week's show. Also, I'm going to be tomorrow or today, or I don't know when you're listening to this, last week, depending on when you're listening to this, I'm going to be doing an episode of Liberty Under Attack with Shane Radliff, which should be a fun show as well. So keep an eye out for that. Now, that show, only people who are on my mailing list will probably figure out how to get a hold of that show. Whenever I do guest appearances on other people's shows, they typically don't make it on to the website. They don't make it on to livefreefm.com. They probably won't make it on to NathanFraserShow.com. But if you do want to know about guest appearances like that, I do inform my mailing list of it. So another reason to sign up for my mailing list. The best way to do that right now, go to freemarketsquad.com and sign up for the mailing list there and get your invitation into the Free Market Squad online Facebook group. So enough of that. Jeez Louise, 20 minutes of me just talking about myself. What an egomaniac. Lessons on Liberty this week. This week, I'm going to talk about, I kind of teased this earlier. A few weeks back, I was on Truth Frequency Radio, and towards the end of that particular episode with Chris and Sheree, the idea of money came up, the idea of getting rid of money and having a society, a utopian society, where we didn't have to struggle anymore because there was no more money. And that was horrifying to me. Like, that concept is horrifying to me. Like, I love money. You goddamn greedy capitalist, Nathan Fraser. Not like that. I don't love money like I'm willing to sell my family for money or stab my mom in the back for 10 bucks. Not in a greedy way, but just the concept of money, the ability to have like a placeholder and trade and be able to efficiently communicate value to each other. Money is a brilliant idea. It's like one of the things that sets humans apart from every other species on this planet. And humans are the only ones that have to pay to live on Earth. Yeah, we're also the only ones with mass communication, mass transit, air conditioning, indoor plumbing, internet, television. Well, maybe that's not a, maybe that's a strike against money, but money makes us, we have like the highest standard of living of all creatures on the planet. Think about like birds that have nests, and when their nest falls out of the tree, they're pretty much just screwed. But because we have money, we can invest that money in things like insurance. And if our house gets blown over by the wind, we're taken care of. No other animal has the security and the comfort and the lifestyle that human beings have. And the biggest reason is because we have money. We have this concept of money, of a placeholder of value. And I wasn't always this way. I grew up like dirt poor. I used to hate money. I used to wish that everything was free, that everybody had the same amount and we didn't have to work for money. I used to like hate money. I used to be one of these anti-money conspiracy theory type people. But as I got older and as I realized that I had value that others also wanted for free, my opinions started changing. Because even if it was just like my labor to help them meet their goals, or if it was, I don't want to just give you my labor. You got to give me something in return. If it's writing sales copy to help you sell more products, or if, for a long time it was performing concerts and selling CDs and giving people a good time and entertaining and educating people at the same time. When I started going through all of that, I started realizing that money is actually a really good thing. It's a great and convenient way for people to show you that they appreciate what you've done for them. Money is like little certificates of appreciation. And when you provide something for someone, and they don't show appreciation for it, you're not very likely to continue that action. If every time that you do something for somebody, they're just like, oh yeah, well, that's awesome, cool, whatever, peace. They don't show you appreciation, they don't tell you thank you, or they don't pay you for it, you're not likely to continue that action. And the concept came up, well, you know, why don't we just do things and show each other appreciation? We could just have a gift economy and just do things for each other, because out of the goodness of our heart, that's not realistic. The fact is if you don't get appreciation for something, you don't continue doing it. That's just the way we're hardwired. And the fact is the more energy, the more property, or the more time that you have to sacrifice in order to help somebody else, the less motivating a simple thank you becomes. Money is like a way of saying thank you that goes above and beyond just saying thank you. Money is like a form of communication. It's a speech. It's a way that we can tell each other what we value, what we appreciate. It's speech. It's a form of communication. And the more society allows their government to censor that form of communication through things like regulation and wealth redistribution, the less likely that society is to survive. And those who wish for a society without money, like a lot of my alternative media cohorts do, those people are unknowingly wishing for the very downfall of civilization. So yes, I believe in charity. Yes, I believe in goodwill. Yes, I believe in just helping people. But also, I'm a strong proponent of having some form of money in society. Maybe not Federal Reserve notes, maybe not central bank monopoly money, but having a way to communicate value to each other in a way that everyone can understand makes life better for everyone involved.
Free minds. Free markets. Free people.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like listening to podcasts, don't you? Have you ever thought about starting a podcast of your own? If you're a hardcore podcast fan, you probably have, and you've probably got something great to share with the world. I'm Nathan Frazier, and I've created a free online podcasting course for people just like you. Pre-Launch Secrets gives you the top 5 secrets you need to know in order to launch a successful podcast. You'll learn how to create the core concept of your podcast, how to build a solid audience, and how to consistently generate great content for that audience. These are the secrets the pros use when coming up with ideas for their podcasts. And after this course, you'll have them all at your disposal. The course is free. It's taught by me. Enroll today. Go to podcastblastoff.com/course. That's podcastblastoff.com/course. Podcast Blastoff, the future of podcasting.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this Marge, $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
Welcome back, Free Market Squad. This is Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Frazier Show, the only podcast dedicated to helping you be your own boss, both politically and professionally. I am your host, Nathan Frazier. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad. And in this second half of the show, we're going to be talking about the power of storytelling. Now, I'm not talking about like selling wolf tickets or crying wolf or war stories, but I am talking about just like basic storytelling, like the one of the original forms of communication. Like storytelling goes back to like the very beginning of civilization. Before we were able to write books, people passed on lessons, people passed on culture, people passed on values through stories. People would sit around campfires, passing on knowledge from one generation to the next through the power of stories. Storytelling is incredibly powerful. and it's not changed. It's still the same. I don't know if this is like an epigenetic feature of humanity, but stories are still one of the most powerful ways that you can change how people think about something. Stories can call people to action like nothing else. Stories have the ability to change entire societies. That's how powerful stories are. And the reason why is because nobody likes to be preached to, but everybody loves a good story. I mean, even look at preachers themselves. Look at the books that preachers preach from. It's filled with stories. It's not like, you got to do this or you'll go to hell. You got to do this or you'll go to hell. You need to do this to go to heaven. It's stories that explain why these people believe, first of all, in hell and heaven in the first place, but why they also believe it's good and righteous to live this particular way. And again, I'm not condemning or defending the Bible. There's some pretty atrocious stuff in there that I definitely don't agree with, but hey, whatever. That's just my opinion. But it doesn't negate the fact that for years and years and years, for decades, for centuries, that book has stood the test of time and molded people's realities based off of stories. Everybody loves a good story. And there's guidelines to a good story. The best stories are transformational. They're a story about a transformation. They're a story of somebody going from a comfortable situation to a situation of struggle and then to a situation of solution or of overcoming the struggle. The classic example of this is like the hero's journey or the reluctant hero, the guy who wants to stay at home at his aunt and uncle's house on the farm, and something happens and calls him away on a journey that he doesn't really want to go on, but he reluctantly embarks upon it, and only to find a struggle, something that he has to overcome, something that he fails at, and then eventually finds the solution for and is able to emerge victoriously. Same thing with like the Odd Couple stories. Two people who are just fine on their own come together and realize that it's a struggle for them to get along. And by the end of the story, they find mutual appreciation for each other. They find the solution to their problem, and everybody lives happily ever after. Same thing with romantic comedies or romantic dramas. How many romantic stories have you seen where two people are, they're comfortable in their lives, and then they meet each other, and it's birds and bees, and everything's hunky-dory until some kind of secret or some kind of event almost tears them apart, almost ends in disaster. And one of the two people has to pony up, and at the last moment before the person is lost forever, they're able to find the solution to the problem. Usually it just involves stepping up and being honest and letting the other person know how you feel. They find the solution, and everybody lives happily ever after. Comfort, struggle, solution. The transformation of the reluctant hero to the struggling hero to the victorious hero. That's the basis of a great story. Stories are so incredibly powerful. A good example of this, in 1986, Tony Scott directed a movie with Tom Cruise, and I want to say Val Kilmer was in it as well. I want to say Val Kilmer. I might be wrong. Maybe it was Dolph Lundgren. I don't know. I get all those 1980s actors mixed up. It was about two pilots for the Navy. There was never a direct advertisement for the Navy in it, but the story was so compelling that Navy enlistments started skyrocketing through the roof. So much so that the Navy started sending people to the theaters to wait for people to come out of the theaters, because when they came out of the theaters, they were so amped up by the story that they wanted to join the Navy. And that movie was Top Gun. That's how powerful a story can be. Now, I know that's an incredibly statist example, so I'm going to flip the script and talk about V for Vendetta. Maybe you guys have seen V for Vendetta. That movie, such a powerful statement in that movie that it started almost an entire movement of Guy Fawkes wearing, Guy Fawkes mask wearing computer vigilantes calling themselves Anonymous. They've built an entire movement around the iconic ideals portrayed in that movie, V for Vendetta. So stories have the power to, both in the Top Gun example and the V for Vendetta example, stories have the ability to spark incredible social change. Also, a great example of this is like the Matrix movie, the Matrix movies. How many parallels have you been able to draw to between real life and the real world control system and the examples that were laid out in the Matrix movie? For me personally, too many to count. Stories can wake people up from a dead sleep, even when they're already wide awake. Stories are incredibly powerful. Social movements use stories. I don't know. So movies and books, 1984, Brave New World, like I already mentioned, V for Vendetta, The Matrix, Hunger Games. So many movies have incredibly powerful stories that bring us these just crazy warnings about dystopian futures, or incredibly powerful stories that inspire us to break through what was previously thought possible and be able to live the truly highest life that we're possible of living. Stories are incredibly powerful. And I'm personally one of those guys that doesn't buy all of the predictive programming theories. I think, yeah, there probably is some predictive programming going on. I definitely think that Hollywood has intertwinings with the power elite, quote unquote. I definitely think that there are some predictive programming things going on, but like movies like They Live, I don't believe are predictive programming. Movies like The Matrix, or and apparently the Wachowski brothers stole the script of The Matrix from a lady who wrote it originally. People that write that type of stuff, I don't always think that they're predictive programming. I think that sometimes, and I'm going to say this from my own real world example, because I know comic book artists, I know comic book writers, I know people that work in film, I know people that are artists, and freedom is a huge part of their art, because most artists love freedom. Most authors love freedom. Most talented people in general love freedom. Most storytellers love freedom, and it comes through in their art. And so I don't think that every single time there's a dystopian rebellious movie that comes out, or a dystopian rebellious book that comes out, I don't think that every single time it's predictive programming. I think that a lot of times it's people, more often than not, actually, I think that these stories are the way for these artists, for these authors, for these movies, movie producers, actors, for these storytellers to slip in some medicine with the applesauce, because they know that people don't want to be preached to, but people love a good story. And if you want to be able to convey a message to people, you don't want to just go out like Alex Jones with a bullhorn and scream at them on the corner. People don't listen to that. You need to entertain them. You need to tell them a story. You need to put the medicine in with the applesauce. And I think that more often than predictive programming, what's actually going on is people who actually love freedom, and they realize that storytelling is a way to bring about the positive change in society that they want to see, or a way to warn people about the negative changes in society that they see happening. As a podcaster, I can tell you this. I use storytelling all the time. I use analogies to sell my ideas all of the time. I use stories. Just think of this episode, actually. Just think of this segment of this episode. I used stories to introduce it. I used the story about Top Gun. I used the story about the people sitting around the campfire telling stories to introduce this segment about telling stories. My goal in this segment was to teach you or to convince you that you should be making better uses of stories. And to start that argument off, before I even hit you with the how-to, I began by telling you a couple of stories. Stories are powerful. I use stories in my emails all the time. I use stories to draw people in. Typically, my headline gets their attention. When they open it up, my first sentence is used to get people to keep reading. And as soon as I get past the first sentence, as soon as I tell them, hey, this is something that you need to keep reading, as soon as I've got them invested, or just a little bit invested, I draw them in with a story. I try to make a connection and a point. And I use that story, I use that connection, because stories are great ways to connect with people. Because everybody, if you've got a story that's relatable and people are listening to it, they're going to say, yeah, I remember something like that happening to me. I remember how I felt like that. I totally understand his point. And then I use that point, I use that connection, I use that relatability of the story to convince people to take the action that I want them to take. Earlier on in this episode, when I was talking about money, when I was talking about how I feel about money, the point was I wanted to get you to the point, because I know that a lot of people that listen to the networks that I'm on also share that anti-money bias. I know that. And I know I have a lot to overcome. I'm trying to convince people that hate money. I'm trying to convince them that they maybe should rethink their position on it. And that's a hard sell for people. And I understand that. And when I started off that segment, what did I do? I started off by telling you a story. And it wasn't just any story. It was a story of how I know where someone who hates money is coming from, because I was there. It was a story where if you are where I'm trying to talk to and trying to, and if you're the person I'm trying to bring to where I want you to go, I told you a story that you could relate with that made me relatable to you. And it wasn't a bullshit story. It was the truth. I did grow up dirt poor. I did grow up hating money. It was the truth, but it was a story. I pulled you in with a story, and then I led you to where I wanted you to go. Each episode of the Nathan Fraser Show, of Anarchopreneur, every single episode, I start off by bringing you up to date with what my current story is, what's going on in my life. Every single episode, you get a play-by-play of the last week of my life, the last little bit of my story, because stories are powerful. And stories are like jokes. Stories, the point of a joke is to get to the punchline. The point of a story is to get people to the final call to action. In a joke, everything builds to the punchline. You start with the punchline in mind. When you come up with, you're crafting a good joke, you start with the punchline in mind, and then you build to that punchline. And everything that you build has to, first of all, start with something that someone can relate with, and then progress them along the line to where they get to that punchline. And it's the same thing with a story. When you're telling a story, it's because you want people to feel a certain way, because you want people to take a certain action. And in order to get there, you have to tell a good story. And just like a punchline, you have to build the entire story around getting to that call to action. The point of a good story is to sell somebody on a feeling or an action or an idea. And you have to build your story with that end point in mind. So if you're selling somebody on an idea, if you're trying to sell somebody on an idea, you need to be very subtle. You need to be very subtle in your call to action. an idea that a reader or a listener or a viewer thinks that they came to themselves is way more powerful and way more likely to stick than an idea that they feel was hand-delivered to them. People don't like to be slapped in the face with your message, especially when you're trying to sell them on an idea, which is why these movies, which is why these books that point out the problems with authoritarianism, with central planning, that have these heroes that rise, to rise against all the odds to bring down the tyrant or bring down the dictator. They don't always just slap you in the face. It's very subtle. They don't come out and blatantly say, hey, this is the world you live in, and this is what you need to do about it. They very subtly tell you a story. It's a story that you can relate with. They make sure that you can relate with the lead character, the hero or the heroine. But it's a story where if it's done correctly, at the end of the story, you come up with the idea. Hey, maybe this is what's going. They don't come out and say, hey, Hunger Games is an analogy for what's going on in America right now. Hey, Matrix is an analogy for what's going on with the banking system or with the holographic reality. I don't know. They don't come out and just say it. They lead you to come to that conclusion yourself. Because people, again, don't like to be preached to. They love a good story. But on top of that, people don't like their ideas being wrapped up in a pretty package and hand-delivered to them. They like to feel like they came up with the idea themselves. So as a storyteller, if you want someone to have an idea, especially when you're trying to sell an idea, you don't want to just hand it to them. You don't want to just tell them, this is what you need to think. You need to tell them a story that drives them to that idea so that at the end of the story, they feel like it's their idea. They feel like they came up with it. They feel like they figured out 2 + 2 = 4, not that you just came up to them and told them 4. When selling services or products, you kind of need to be blunt with your call to action, but you still need to be subtle in your delivery. You want to allow, when somebody's reading your sales copy or listening to your commercial on the television or a podcast or whatever, when you're having a discussion with somebody and you're trying to sell them on why they should buy your service, your product, you need to let them figure out that 2 + 2 = 4. No matter how impatient you get, no matter how hard it is for you to just come out and not blurt out, hey, 2 + 2 = 4. You need to let them figure out 2 + 2 = 4. You need to tell them a story that gets the gears moving in their brain and leads them to the conclusion that 2 + 2 = 4. And then once they've come to the conclusion that 2 + 2 = 4, then you say, okay, well, here's where you put 4 underneath or next to this equal sign. You let them come up with the solution or with the idea that you led them to, and then your call to action tells them what, now that they have that idea, what do they need to do next? So in selling products or services, it's a little bit different than selling an idea, but the undertone is the same. You need to tell a story that makes them feel like they came up with the answer, like that the idea was theirs, not like you forced the idea on them. Because nobody likes to be sold to, but everybody likes to buy. And so you have to convince them that the buying decision was theirs. Oh, and I can already see that people are going to be like, well, that's manipulative. And again, I come back to this. Hey, if you've got something that can benefit other people's lives, it's not being manipulative. It's being persuasive. If you've got something that can benefit somebody else's life and you don't do whatever you can to sell them on taking advantage of how you can benefit their life, you've done them a disservice. If you think, oh, all I have to do is put together this solution and I don't have to try and convince people that it's the right solution because it's a good enough solution, and if they figure it out, they'll figure it out. Wrong. Because if your solution is like a cure to cancer and you're just like, well, I figured it out, and if they can figure it out, it'll solve their problem too. No, dude, you need to lead them to the point where they figure out that 2 + 2 = 4. And then you tell them, okay, now that you've got 4, let me tell you what to do with it. Now that you've figured out that this can solve your problem, let me tell you what action you need to take to start implementing it. If you can solve somebody's problem, you owe them to do whatever you can to help them get to the point where they're willing to accept your solution. So, the biggest mistake that I see people making as storytellers, because a lot of people understand how powerful storytelling is, but the biggest mistake that I see people making when they're trying to sell stories, or when they're trying to use stories to sell their service, to sell their product, to sell themselves even, is they so frequently want to be the hero of the story. Because, I mean, that's, just be honest, dude, that's how I see myself. I'm the hero of my own story. That's why I jokingly refer to myself as the hero with a, or the host with a hero complex. I'm halfway joking and I'm halfway serious. Most people, when trying to sell, come look at my company. My company was started by my grandfather in 1984 and blah, 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 blah. And we've got the best hard wicker baskets around, and we use this and this, and our materials come from this place over here, and we're open 24 hours a day. It's all about us. We're the heroes of this story. Keep reading, though, because you want to read a story about other people being the hero, right? Isn't that what everybody wants? To feel like the person who just gets bombarded with other people's hero stories? No. Nobody wants that. People want to be the hero of their own story. So instead of telling them a story, when you're trying to use a story to sell your business or your idea, make the person you're telling the story to, make them the hero, because that's what they want. That's the way they see the world already. Meet them at their vision of the world. They're already the hero of their own story in their own mind. Don't try and fight that. Work with it. Instead of trying to be Luke Skywalker yourself, be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Be the Obi-Wan of the story and let the reader be Luke Skywalker. Don't be so selfish. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the story they want to read. They want to read the story where they relate with the hero. The one that they're the hero in. That's the story they want to read. That's the story that's going to grip them. That's the story that's going to pull them in. That's the story that's going to accomplish calling them to the action that you want them to take. Because, like I said, we're all the protagonists of our own stories. It's true for us. It's true for the people that we're trying to sell to. Take advantage of it. Understand it and work with it instead of trying to work against it. We are the protagonists of our own story. And that's why struggle is such a blessing in disguise. Stories need tension. Stories need drama. Stories need something for the hero to overcome. It's what gives our story purpose. It's what makes our story worth reading. It's what makes our lives worth living. Taking this back to the moneyless utopia that I was talking about earlier, how boring would our stories be if there was no struggle? What would be the point if there was no struggle for us to overcome? We thrive. We learn how to grow from our struggles. And for selling, addressing the struggle is one of the best things that we can do. Forgiving the reader, offering them hope, offering them redemption, telling them there is a happy ending for this story. Nobody likes a story where the hero fails. Everybody likes a story where the hero overcomes. Everybody loves a story where, after the initial failure, the hero finds the master who provides him the secret to victory so that he can come back victorious. That is the story that people want to hear. They don't want to hear your story. They don't want to hear about how great your company is. They don't want to hear about how great your product is. They want to hear about how great their life will be after they purchase your product, after they purchase your service. That's what they want to hear about. Understand that and work with it. Be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Be the master that provides the secret, and let your customer be Luke Skywalker. Let your customer be the hero of the story. This has been another episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. If you want to get more like this, go to NathanFraserShow.com. If you want to link up with a community of liberty-minded business owners, check out FreeMarketSquad.com. Until next time, Free Market Squad, I am out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. I am out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com.